We begin the current daf Masechet Nedarim daf Chav Zayin. We begin on the bottom of Chav Vav and Beis, three lines up from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous two dafim. That is, our Mishnah was speaking about the third of the four Arbon Nedarim mentioned in this parak. That although from the words a person is saying, it sounds like he's saying a neder, but since this case specifically was Nidrish Shkagas, it was an error. Therefore, it's not going to have the halacha of a neder. Now, the fourth case of our Mishnah describing the Nidrish Shkagas. Describe the machlekes b'sham b'sil regarding if somebody says, hey, you people that you're eating my figs, it's forbidden on you like a neder, like a carbon. Turns out, he finds out that from those people was his father and his brothers, and he would never have wanted to them to be forbidden. So that part is definitely a shkaga and not forbidden as a neder to eat it. However, the machlekes b'sham b'sil was regarding the rest of the people. Do we say that neder shehud miktsaseh hotru kuloi, like b'sil, that since part of them, part of the people, part of the nether is already permitted because there was a shkaga. So therefore, as Basil says, zeb zeb mutar. Now everybody's permitted because once part of it's permitted, so now all of the nether is permitted. Or like Bishamai, that say that no, the father and the brother are permitted, but everybody else is still forbidden. Now there was a machlekes, how to interpret this machlekes. Rabba said that if the terminology generally previously that was used was kulchem asur and you're all forbidden, then he finds that, wait a second, my father and my brother were there. I definitely did not want to include them. But he says, had I known, I would have still said kul chamasur. But I would have added on chutz mi'ab, except for father. So that rabbi said, everybody agrees, even misil, that the rest are still going to be forbidden. Because that's what's called in the words of the Ran, maimed, where you're maintaining your original neder, so it's still intact. You're not changing the wording that made everyone else forbidden. So although you're adding on chutz mi'aba and you could exclude him because of that's a mistake in the nether regarding the father, but the original nether is still intact regarding everybody else. So everybody would agree that they're still forbidden. The hamachlokes b'sham b'sil was regarding when you're mishana, when you're changing the wording. Where not only are you saying that it's a mistake that I had my father included unwittingly, I would want him excluded, but more of I would have said it differently. I wouldn't have said kul chamasturin, because then it gives the appearance, at least for a second, before saying the words chutz mi'aba, that my father is included in everyone that was there, which he was there. Rather, I would have said, plainly and plainly and plainly, would have gone through every single person individually, and then is, so therefore there's two errors, in regards to the father, and even in regards to everyone else, you would have said a different word. Therefore, that's when Basil says, oh, so even regarding everyone else, something here is changing, is in neder the hotu miktsasai. And therefore, that's when Bezalel says, like Rabbi Kiva on the Mishnah later on, Zav Samach Vamanav, that Hutr Kulay. But that is what Rabbi explains, Beishameh and the Rabban who argue in Rabbi Kiva on that Mishnah later on, know that no, you don't say Neder Shud Mitzasai Hutr Kulay, and it's still going to be forbidden for the rest. That was Rabbi's interpretation. Rabbi said that no. When it has these two characteristics, one is that there's an error regarding the father. And moreover, that even regarding everyone else, you would have changed the wording from, let's say, kulchem to plainly and plainly and plainly. And then even Meshamai and the Rabbanon later on in the Mishnah Daf Samach Vav agree that you would say, neder shut miktsasai hutr kulay. And actually, their homachlokes is regarding when you say kulchem and you're still saying kulchem. On that, Meshamai and the Rabbanon on that later Mishnah say that they hold like Remeir, that the primary wording of a person is its first part of a sentence. Ikadvar, that's his first things. And since that first part of the sentence was kulchem, and he's still saying kulchem, so that's really the primary neder. So although he's saying and adding a chutz mi'aba, that's not really affecting the primary neder, which was kulchem. So it's still intact. So it's not really neder shehud miktsasai, so therefore you won't say hutr kulay. And that is what Rav explains. But Beis Hillel and Rabbi Kiva are going to say that no, they hold like Rabbi Yisi, where even begmar devar of adam nitfas, it's the person's whole sentence, is considered the whole neder. And since it's not just kulchem that he's saying, but he's also saying chutz mi'aba, so therefore the original neder of kulchem is not intact anymore, because it's already excluding your father. So it is included in neder shud miktsasai hutr kulay. That's what machlekes Rabba and Rava. Now the Gemara continues asking from the previous staff, isvei ravina l'Rava. The Gemara continues asking on Rava's interpretation of the machlekes of Kivin Rabbanon and of Beisil Meshamai, which parallel that machlekes, regarding what it is that they're arguing about, again, that they're only arguing regarding maimid, when you're maintaining the original terminology, because when it's regarding mishana, when you're changing the wording, then even the Rabbanan and Bishamei, Rava holds, would agree that you would say neder shut miktasa hutr kulay. So on that, Ravina asks from the following braisa. Rav Nasan Aimer, he says, Yesh neder shemiktsasay muter. There is a neder, a vow, that can be that part of it is permitted, which the Ram points out, even without she'elim, meaning you don't have to come to a chacham to permit that. And the reason being is because since there's an error in the primacy of the neder itself, whereas we're going to explain that it's referenced when, although he's prohibiting something on them, he didn't mean for a specific type of that category. So you could have a neder that part of it is permitted, but part of it is forbidden. What would be the case? Neder min al kokola. Someone takes a vow forbidding that all the baskets of figs, that figs are forbidden for him. Now, however, as we continue on top of Chazayin Med Aleph, but v'hayibab b'nai shuach, there was this finer quality of figs, which are called b'nai shuach, which he didn't know about. Now, v'amen, he says, ilo yisiyidea sh'b'nai shuach b'toicha, had I known that this a higher quality type of b'nai shuach was inside of here, lo yisiyidea, I would never have taken a neder forbidding myself in the baskets of the figs. So, hakakala surah, this is what Reb Nosson's saying, so then the basket, meaning the rest of the figs, are still forbidden. But b'nai shuach mataras. However, this higher quality type is going to be permitted. So this parallels the opinion of the Rabbanon on that Mishnah on later on the Samach Vav, where we find that Acha bar Rabbi Kiva v'limon, until Rabbi Kiva came along and he taught that no, neder shod miktsasai huter kulei. Once part of it is permitted, because now not all of them are forbidden, because the b'nai shuach type are permitted, now the whole basket is going to be permitted. So again, that's seemingly the same machlekes of Bekiva and the Rabbanon. But however, what the Gemara asks, what Ravina is asking on Rav is, my love the Amar isn't the case talking about when the person says, Iloha yisiyah de'asha b'nai shurach b'toicha, had I known that this higher quality b'nai shurach was inside the basket, ha'yisayim, I would have said, te'enim shchayris u'levanas asurus. He would have delineated. He wouldn't have said a general statement, oh, the basket's forbidden on me. He would have said, look, the black ones, the white ones, those are forbidden. B'nai shuach mutaras, but this higher quality one, he would have said they're permitted, which is the case of the category that we call Mishana, where not only did he make an error in the nether itself, which is that he doesn't want all them forbidden, because he actually wants B'nai shuach to be permitted, but moreover, even regarding everything else that he wants forbidden, he wouldn't have said it in his general statement. He would have said it specifically that this one and this one, those should be forbidden, and this one should be permitted. And still, Rebbe Kiva, we see that the only one that says that would be a case of neder shehod miktsasai hater kulay, that's Rebbe Kiva, but Uplig Rabbanan, as we see from Reb Nosson's quote, that Rabbanan argue, and they hold that you're not going to say neder shehod miktsasai hater kulay. Now, that doesn't work well according to Rava, because Rava said that when you would change the terminology, even for those which would you want it forbidden, that's going to be included according to everybody neder shehod miktsasai hater kulay. But according to that, then why is it that this is only Rebbe Kiva? So the Gemara says, no. But the case is, he wouldn't have changed the wording. He would have said, Ilo yisiyadea shebnei shuach b'teicha, had I known that this type was inside, I would have said, kol kol, so I still would have maintained, maimid, I would have maintained that terminology of everything being forbidden. But b'nei shuach mataras, he would have said, but except, the b'nei shuach are permitted, and therefore it's not difficult according to Rav, but that's why it is only according to Rabbi Kiva, because it's talking about the category of maimid, which is that you're maintaining your original terminology regarding those that you wanted forbidden, and therefore it's only Rabbi Kiva, and like we said, Basil, who they go like the opinion of Rabbi Yisi, which is even Begmar Dvarva, the Menitvas, but however the Rabbanon and Bishama, they argue and they hold like Remeir, that's only Be'ikud Dvarav, and since you're maintaining your original terminology, it is going to be forbidden for the others, and it will not be Neder Shehod Miktsasai Huter Kulei. Now the Gemara concludes this discussion with this machlekes, Rabbi and Rava, how to define this machlekes, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanon and Bisil Mishamai. So man tan l'hod the Tana Rabbanon. Who is the Tana of the following Braisa? Braisa says as follows: Nader b'chamisha b'nei adam ke'echad. If he made a vow from five people at the same time, meaning it's in one vow that he makes himself forbidden with all five, so the Braisa said hutul la'echad mehem hutru kula. So if he becomes permitted to one of them, so that's a neder shehod miktsasai. So hutar kula, now they're all permitted. Chutz mi'echad mehem. However, if he says besides one of them, so hu mutar v'ein asurin. So then only that one is permitted, but the rest are going to be forbidden. So the Gemara explains it depends according to whose opinion we're going like. As the Gemara says, ila rabba. If you can interpret the brisa according to Rabba's understanding, so then reisha. The ratio, what we have to say is that when it's permitted to one, then it's permitted to all of them, has to be talking about a case where although you originally said kulchem, but then you went and you changed it to laze ulaze. You said, had I known, I wouldn't have said that all of you five are forbidden. I didn't know the circumstances. I wouldn't have said this person. So that's the category of Mishana, which is like Rabbi Akiva. Because again, Rabbi holds that Rabbi Akiva, who's the lenient interpretation, is only going by Mishana. When it's Maimid, Rabbi holds that never, you're never going to be able to. It's only by Mishana when you're changing. So that's with, that's what the Bryce is saying, that if Hutu Miktasa, Hutu Kule is only if, A, first of all, I didn't mean all five, had I known. And more of, I would have said it differently. I wouldn't have said Kulchem. I would have said you and you and you and you. So that's like only like Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi, according to Rabbanan, even if you are Mishana, and not only did you want to exclude one person, you would have used other words. Rabbi holds Beishama and Rabbanan. They hold, you still don't say Huta Echad, Huta Kulei. So the first case of the Brisa that's saying that it's Huta Kulei must be going like Rabbi Akiva and Mishana. Now, the Seifa, when the last case, which says that one is permitted, but the rest are still forbidden, must be talking about that he originally said Kulchem, and Divri HaKol, it's going according to everybody, which is that you still want to say Kulchem, which is what's known as the category of Maimid. You're maintaining your original terminology, which again, according to Rabbah, everyone holds. You don't say Hutu Miktasai, Hutu Kulai, because since you maintain your original terminology, so it's not, the net is essentially intact, and therefore everyone's going to agree that only that one's permitted, the rest is going to be Asr. But Ila Rava, but if you're going to interpret the Bryce like Rava, then you're going to say that the Seifa is going to be according to everybody, meaning when it's, you're saying Kulchem, it's going to be like the Rabbanan, because since you're maintaining the original word, you're just saying Chutz Me'echemen, you're saying, I said Kulchem Asrun, and I'm still saying Kulchem Asrun, but had I known, I would have said except for that person. So that's the halach of Maimid, which according to Rava is unlike the Rabbanan, because Rava holds according to Rabbi Akiva that even by Maimid, the halach is that Hutur Miktaz Hutur Kulei. Whereas Vareisha, the first case, which was that he originally said Kulchem, and then he changed his mind to Lazel Lazel, so that's the Rakol according to Rava, that's going according to everybody, that Hutur Miktaz Hutur Kulei, because that's the case of Mishana where you're changing. And according to Rava, by Mishana, everyone agrees, Hutu Miktasai, Hutu Kulei. So essentially what comes out is that each one's going to hold, one is going to be according to everybody, and the other one is going to be according to one opinion, but accordingly, one is going the according to Rava, the ratio is like one opinion, the Seifa is according to everybody. According to Rava, to the contrary, it's the Seifa that's only according to Rabbanan, but the ratio is going to be according to everybody. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, the fourth of the four Arbon Adom that we spoke about in this parak, that again, although it's a neder, based on what the person's words are, but since of the characteristic of the neder, it's not going to have the halacha of a neder. Fourth one is Nidri Einsen, which is that if something beyond a person's control happens, so although a neder was taken, it's not going to have the halacha of a neder. And again, that's because the person's intention was not for that to be that way, like we had by Nidri Shkogers and Nidri Zrizin, Nidri Avoy. Although the words mean one thing, but the person's intention is something else, and since it's not Piv Aliba Shavin, it's not going to be considered a neder. So what's the case? And the Mishnah says, Hidirucha Averish Yechlitz Life. Let's say someone says he wants his friend to eat by him, and he says, if you don't eat by me, then you're going to be forbidden based on a neder to have enough for me. But Mechalohu, Eishachal Benay, now that person who is invited as a guest, either he becomes ill, or his son is ill, which the chiddush of that is that although it's not a full-fledged oinus because he could come, it's just that his son's not doing well and therefore he's watching his son. Still, that's considered anoyness. And also, Eisha Ikvinar, or let's say the river gets in the way, he can't get by it. And these are all considered valid oinsim. And therefore, Hare Elu Nidra oinsim, therefore, it's considered a neder of a oinus. And the reason is, because it didn't entertain the one who's forbidding his friend, who he wanted him to eat by him, and says, if you don't come to eat by me, then I don't want to see you ever again, then you're forbidden based on a neder. That's obviously only where he could have came had there not be any impossible circumstances, and he didn't come. So then you know you don't really want to come to me. But any time there's at least even a small, difficult, challenging situation of an oinus, for example, like when his son becomes sick and he has to watch him and take care of him, of course it's going to be permitted because that was not the intention of the person that took the neder, and therefore it's what's called nidri oinsin, and it's not a neder, and the person could still have hanoah from that person. Now, relating to the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following halacha: Hahu gavra. The atfis zachvasa bebeidin. It was a certain person that brought his documents of merit to the courts. Now, the thing was that he had to go back home. So the Amar, he told to the courts and to his litigant, he said, look, like this. If I don't come back within 30 days, so these documents that I have that I could win in court with, they're going to be null and void and not usable in court. Now the Ran explains the reason of what this person is trying to do. This person requested from the courts for a delay, for time, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, that anytime a person has to bring proof, so they give the person 30 days to bring his proofs. Now the problem is that the courts were concerned that maybe this person was only doing it as a delay tactic, just to get away. And so what they said to him was like this. You leave your documents over here that you have against your friend. And he said to them, fine, if I don't come back within 30 days, so then you're right, my merits will have been nullified, because again, this was, he had to bring proofs to back up his court case. And they were concerned that maybe he's just really getting out of it. And so therefore, that was the condition. He said, look, I'm not trying to run away. Actually, I'm going to come back. If I don't come back within 30 days, then all the documents will be null and void. You can just throw it out. Now, what happened was that Isnis really also, some challenging beyond the, his control conditions came up, and he wasn't able to come. So I'm Ravuna, Batal Zachvase. Ravuna says, look, you said you don't come back within 30 days. You didn't come back within 30 days, although you had an oinus that held you up, but you didn't come back. So all the merits are thrown out. So Amalei Rava and some of the gears of Rabbah, because Rabbah didn't see Ravuna, that Rabbah said, but Anasu, what do you mean? It was something beyond his control. But Anas, Racham on the Patre. And the Torah exempts someone when it's in a situation of oinus. That's like it says the Pasuk in Devarim, says, V'lanara leisasa davar, although a woman that's Mizana gets punished when she has immorality. However, when she was forced, when she was violated by someone else, which something, not something that she wanted, it was beyond her control, so then she doesn't get punished. So, and now, moreover, Rava says, if you're going to say that being killed is something different, in other words, when it comes to the death penalty, then you can use an exemption of Oinus. But regarding something else, maybe you're going to tell me that then the claim of Oinus doesn't help you, fine. You had something beyond your control, but you didn't come back. On that, he says, but now we learn in our Mishnah. A Mishnah says, what are nidri einsin that are not considered a neder? Hadir chaveir sheyech letzlev. Someone made a neder for his friend to have to eat by him, and saying, if you don't come, then you're forbidden based on a neder. V'chalohu oishachalo benoi oishik v'nar. Now if that guest became sick, or his son became sick, or the river held him up, now re'elu nidri einsin, the halacha in the Mishnah is brought, that it's considered a neder of einis. And the reason being is because since it never entered the thought process of the one who made the nether, that if this is going to happen, that he should still be forbidden. So therefore, what Rav is asking to Ravon is, here also regarding this guy who gave his documents to the courts, he should say the same thing also. It never entered his mind that his chustim should be batal. It's only when he thought he could come, and he's not coming, so that's throwing out. But if he couldn't come because it's an einus, just like by the person who's making the nether, it's not considered a nether because it's an einus. So you see that the halacha of einus rachman the patre is not just regarding not being killed because I was an einus, it's even regarding other areas of halacha, even regarding a thing like a neder, or even like here in the court case, where if it's an einus, so then we don't view it as something, as a fulfillment, as an action. Now, the Ram points out that Ravuna doesn't respond. Sounds like it's because he actually wasn't concerned with Rabba's question. The reason being is because he held that there's a discrepancy between our Mishnah and what they were discussing. Because in our Mishnah, the one who's making the neder, there is no reason that he should have explained his neder by saying that, oh, I only mean that if it's not going to be an einus. But if it's going to be an einus, I don't, because what does it bother him? Because it's not affecting him, it's going to affect the person that's coming as a guest. But what Rav Huna would hold is different over here in this case that the Gemara is bringing, is that he should have made clearly the condition in his nullification of his documents, if he's not back in 30 days, and said, wait a second, that's only if I don't make it, it's only if there's no einus, something beyond my control. Now, he didn't make those conditions. So that's his own loss. That's his own fault. You can't compare it to the halacha of our Mishnah, where the one who's making the nether, there's no reason why he should have. And because what is it any loss to him? So they will say that, yes, the einus will qualify the nether and say it's not a nether. But here where you should have, because you're going to lose all these documents, you should have made that qualification and you didn't. So therefore it's your own negligence And therefore, although an oinus held you back, Rav Huna holds, not like Rava, that the person will lose his rights and his documents. So that's the machlekes Rava and Rav Huna, if that case that we're discussing was comparable to the halacha of our Mishnah, if the halacha of oinus will actually say that it's not a valid halacha, in other words, that it, we will not be mavat, like Rava wanted to say, well, like Rav Huna says, that no, even though you're an oinus, we're still going to throw out your documents. Now, the Gemara is Ulu Rava. According to Rava's opinion, that he says that oinus always works. Oinus says you're not held at fault, just like regarding when there's a raping of a naira, or if it's regarding a nether, or if it's regarding saying that I'm going to be back in 30 days, and they don't come back because of the oinus. He says that the person's not at fault, and they don't throw out his documents. Another Gemara asks, Mishnah Mo'ad Etnan, why is it any different from the following Mishnah Masechtas Gittin? Mishnah says, if a man says to his wife, this will be your divorce document from this moment that I'm giving it to you. Now it's only going to be get if I don't come back here. I'm going away now. If I'm not back within 12 months, then it's going to be a get from now. If I'm back, so it's not a get. Now what happened was he died within the 12 months. So now the Mishnah says over there, get. It's considered a get. Now the question is, am I? But why? Yes. He didn't come back, so it's a get. But there's no greater einus beyond the person's control than when a person dies. So the reason why he didn't come back was because an einus. Rava holds that when there's an einus that's affecting it, then it's not considered a fulfillment of that. And therefore, if he didn't come back because of an einus, it shouldn't be considered a valid get. Why is it a get? So Amri, they said that no, it's not difficult on Rava. Because Dimashan Nehas, maybe there it's different as Rikitiyan Tamad Beis, is because the Iyava Yadid Amis, had this husband known that he's going to die, then actually to the contrary. Actually, then he would have given the get immediately right away. In other words, as the Ran explains, the whole reason why he's giving her a get in the first place is because he's going on a far journey. Doesn't know if I'm ever going to come back. He doesn't want his wife to be in a situation where she's held up in doubt or with certain contingencies. And therefore, he says, look, if I'm not back, it'll be a get. You won't be stuck. Now, moreover, is that if he knows he's going to die, for sure he would have divorced her because he doesn't want her to be stuck having to go through the process of Yibum with his brother. So therefore, that's what the Gemara says, is that the reason why the einus of death is not going to be undoing the validity of not coming back within 12 months is because to the contrary. That is something that he would have actually wanted for sure to be a get. Because the whole reason why he's doing it in the first place is that he doesn't want her to be stuck. And therefore, although yes, you're right, einus usually does that, but since it's obviously not what his intention was, that's why that oinus of death is not going to hold back the validity of that get. The Gemara continues asking on Rava, why is it any different from the following case where a person tells the people, he says, look, if I don't come back right over here within 30 days, then lahava gita, this get that I'm giving you will be retroactively a get from now. Now, also paskimava, but he wanted to come back within 30 days. He really didn't want to divorce her. However, there was a river and the ferry wasn't there, was in his way. Now, Amlhu, but he was screaming across the river, Chazuda say, look, I came, look, I came. Vamar Shmuel said, Loish Mimasya. You didn't come. You didn't make it back. We see you're trying to, but you didn't make it back. And they put a get. Now, that the question is on Rav Amai, why? Well, mainness on this. We could see that as something beyond his control holding him back. He wants to come. According to Rav, that says, Ain is Rachman the Patre, and we don't consider it as if you did something or didn't do something. So why is this considered like he didn't come back? It's only because of an einus. So that the Gemara says, no. Dilma, there maybe the reason is because einus de megal yashan. An einus that is very common, that's different. Because you should have made a condition about such an element of einus. And umavra miglo einse. And a ferry getting across is something that happens. It's pretty common that you miss the ferry or there's something in the way and you can't get across. And therefore, if it's something that you should have been aware of and you didn't, that's your negligence. Although, yes, generally an einus is Rachman the Patre, but that's only something beyond your control. It's something you couldn't have thought of. But here it's such a common thing. It's a negligence. It's not really an einus because you should have foreseen that. And since you didn't, although now you want to get across and you just can't get a ferry, it's still not considered enough of an einus to say that it's not a fulfillment of not coming back, and therefore it's a get. Now, actually, the Ram points out that the Gemara could have easily answered for these questions of Rava regarding the halachas of Gittin, and said that the reason is because, yes, although generally oinus works not just for the death penalty of lanar l'sasadava, but even for all these other iris halacha, but gittin is different. And we say what's called ein oinus begittin. There's no halacha of oinus begittin. And that's because, as the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechet Ksubos, because of the tznuas and prutzes, different problems that could come up if we say that halacha of oinus applies to begittin. So why do we have to give all these different answers? So that the Ran says, you're right, it's only based on the understanding of the questioner, who obviously the questioner who's asking from the Mishnayos holds that there is tainus oinus begittin. Now there are those who want to say that there is a claim of oinus begittin, and therefore accordingly they're answering, even if you'll say that there is tainus of oinus begittin, the halacha of oinus doesn't apply in those categories, but it's still not difficult on Rava, who holds that generally there is going to be halacha of oinus in all these different arenas. Now the Gemara continues asking, finished asking on Rav, now the Gemara asks on the other Amr. Well, Rav Huna, according to Rav Huna, who says that the person actually lost his rights to his documents, although there was an oinus holding it back, as we explained, he holds that no, oinus doesn't apply in these situations. So the Gemara asks, Mechti, fine, let's see, fine, you don't hold that there's an exemption of oinus. But the problem is, Asmachtihi, and that is this person that... what happens is that he has these documents of his rights. Now, the only reason why he's willing to give up those rights, he's not getting anything in return. He's just giving a promise. And he's saying, look, if I'm not back, you could throw it out. It's only because he's confident that he's going to come. And therefore, what the Gemara is asking is that if that's the case, if this fits in what's known as the halacha of asmachta, which is that he's not getting anything, and he's just giving a guarantee only because he's confident that that's what's going to happen. The halacha is v'asmachta leikanya. There cannot be a halacha of an acquisition of a full-fledged commitment for something that is just based on the person's words only because he thinks he's for sure going to be able to do that. And therefore, even if you'll say, good, Rav Huna argues on Rava and there's no halacha of oinus applying over here, it still shouldn't be kind of, because it's at most, what is it? It's just asmachta. It's a person giving his word for something that he really doesn't mean, because it's just because he thinks he's for sure going to be able to come back. Now, the Ram points out, although actually Rav Huna himself says in the Masechet Bava Metzia that Asmachta is Kanya, the Gemara knows that actually Rav Huna retracted that, just like the Gemara says over there, Rav Nachman retracted. So the Gemara knows that Rav Huna holds Asmachta is Loi Kanya. So the Gemara's question is, so fine. So at most that it is, it's Asmachta, which is, again, just giving a guarantee when you're not getting anything for that, and it's only because you think for sure you're going to be able to do that, that it doesn't have halacha, and that doesn't have an effect in halacha as an acquisition. So therefore, yes, he said that. Big deal, so he said that. That doesn't give you the rights to throw out his documents, because there is no kinyan, there's no validity for those words in halacha. So that Gemara says, you're right, although generally asmachta is loy kanya, but shana halacha, here it's different. The mitavsan zuchusan. Here, what the person did is that he didn't just say empty words. Here, since the documents left his domain, and actually he gave it to the courts to hold on to, so it's not just a smachta. Smachta is when you just say words. You say, yeah, if I lose the bet, I'm going to give you all my money. Now, he's confident he's not going to lose the bet. When he does, it's called stealing from him, because he really doesn't mean to. He doesn't really mean to go ahead and give it. Yeah, he's not going to necessarily gain, again, depending on the Rishonim understanding of what Asmachta is. But for our purposes, is that he's not gaining anything. He's just giving up what he has and just words. And that the Gemara says it's not just words. Because here, he gave over his chusn, he gave the documents themselves to the courts, so that is going to be enough of a kenyan. And that's why, if he doesn't come back and there's no oinus, which Rav Huna holds is never halacha of oinus, you could throw out his documents. However, on that, the Gemara asks, is that really true that if the documents are being held by someone else, so it's not just words, he's actually did an action to say that you could throw out these documents, then it's not just an asmachta, and therefore there is a kinyan, and therefore if he's not back, we could throw it out? But tonight we'll learn the Mishnah Baba Basra as follows. Misha par miktas chayva. Someone that paid a part of his debt. Now, behishlish eshtari. Now, what he did is that the document that he had, verifying that he already paid a part of his debt, he put it in the hands of a third party. And moreover, he said as follows, he said, if I don't give to him from today up until 30 days, if I don't pay up the rest, then tell a story, you could give him back the document. In other words, I'll be back to zero again. In other words, I'll still owe the whole thing if I'm not back within that amount of time. Now, let's say the time reached, and he didn't give the guy the rest of the debt. So Rabbi Yossi says, fine, you didn't come back. You didn't give the rest of the debt. So then that third party gives the document back to the lender, and now he owes him the whole thing again because Rabbi Yossi holds a smachta as kanya. Just giving your word where you're not getting anything for it, and you didn't do anything. He just said that's going to be the case. And so that's going to be the halacha. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't give that document because he holds a smachta. It's loy kanya. It's not enough because of just a guarantee that a person is giving when he's not getting anything for it. That doesn't create an element in halacha. Now, v'amrav nachman amar rabbi baravu amar rav, and this is important because Rav was the Rebbe of Rav Huna, which Rishonim explained, that's what the Gemara's question is, that we see from Rav Huna's own Rebbe, Rav, that he says in this argument, he says, ein halacha k'Rabbi Yosi, the amar smachta kanya. Halacha does not follow like Rabbi Yosi, who says a smachta is kanya. Rather, it's going to be like a Rehuda, and therefore you're not going to give the document back to the creditor. Now, the Gemara's question is, here we see Rav calling this case as an asmachta. That's why he's not passing it like Rabbi Yosi, in spite of the fact that it's what's called, the Gemara is calling mitvas and zechusan. The documents here were given over to another party, specifically a shlish, a third party. And therefore he said, that's why it's not going to be kind of, because it is asmachta. So we're back to the question. We see from Rav Huna's own Rebbe that even when you're giving your documents to someone else, it's still called an halacha as an asmachta, and that's why it's loy kanya. So again, so what's the understanding in our Gemara? Why is it any different? Why does it say that the person loses the rights by guaranteeing, where even though he gave it over to the courts, it's still an asmachta, it shouldn't be kanya? So that the Gemara answers, no, shani hacha, here it's even more different, because the amar levatlin zechuse. He said that his not only did he give this guarantee and give over his documents, but moreover, he said that his chusim should be batal. Now, there's a machlokes rishonim and what that means. And the first pshat the Ran brings down is that what he's doing over here is that he's forgiving the rights and the merits he has in those documents. Now, why is that? And the reason is because essentially it's mechila, it's forgiveness. It's something that was done already. There's no halacha of asmachta. In other words, because the friend already has it. In other words, he compares it, let's say, if someone gives something to his friend, and he says, hey, but he already gave it. He says, if I don't do this for you, then what you already have, you can keep. There the Ran says, that person will be kaina. And that's not considered halacha of asmachta. Asmachta is only where you tell the person, I will give to you. I will pay to you. So that, he never did anything. And he's not getting anything for it. And so then we say that, okay, it's just words. And asmachta is not going to be a kinyan to require him to have to give it. And that's the opinion of the Rambam, where in contrast where they interpret that our Gemara saying is that here it's different. Because here, it was already given to the person. He's saying that it's going to be batal, and where you can keep what you have already. It's a mechila. It's not a giving. It's something that you have already, and you don't have to give it back. When someone has something already, and it was given over, then we say it's not considered asmachta, and that's why Rav Huna holds that it is going to be batal, because it doesn't hold the halacha of it being considered an oinus. But the Ran says that that's not the understanding of Rashi. And so to the Ran says that even by mechila, it would apply the halacha of asmachta being loy kanya. So the same thing would apply over here, and the Ran proves this. And so the Ran says the interpretation of our Gemara's answer is that it's different over here, where he says levatlan schuse, meaning where he is admitting that if I don't come back within this amount of time, it's a proof that my rayas are batal. In other words, that my whole claim is false. And therefore, it's not based on asmachta. It's just a verification that my whole claim is false. And therefore, all my rights are batal. That's why it's going to be true. Not because of a kinyan that's happening with the documents themselves, but rather as a verification of what I'm saying must be that it's false. And that's why Rav Huna says that if he's not back within 30 days, since he doesn't hold the halacha of einus, that it will be that he's going to lose the rights in his documents. Now the Gemara concludes, the halachas and halacha is as follows. Asmachta is kanya, but v'hu deloy anis, and as Ram points out, that's even like similar to the cases of our Mishnah of Nidri Einsin, where even if it's just that his son is ill, where it's not even a full-fledged oinus because you could come, you're not ill. However, he says, because had it been talking about an oinus gomer, that would be pretty obvious that it wouldn't be kaina. So asmachta is kanya, just giving the word is, creates a kinyan. But again, only if you're not an oinus, and even just a smaller oinus. But but this is only talking about at least if there was a kinyan made in a respected court, meaning a court that is strong enough to have the wherewithal to remove money from somebody, which the Ran says, for example, like the Bezdin of Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Now, the Ran concludes this discussion by saying that the Rishonim ask on this last clause, and that is, why do you need a Bezdin Chashuv? The Gemara tells us in Perek Ezu Neshach, in Masechet Bamitzia, that wherever a person says, from now, then there's no halacha of asmachta. In other words, when you make a kinyan with a suda, with a kerchief, and so it's like you said, from now, the kinyan should happen right now. The reason is, because if it doesn't take effect right now, so then it's not going to take effect at a later point in time either. Because by that time, whenever that time is, the kerchief was already given back to the other person, and there's no kinyan to be able to take effect at that time. In other words, he compares it to like a Gemara Masechtas Ksubas that pay bays. For example, if someone says to his friend, do Mashicha on this para, but don't acquire it until after 30 days, where he doesn't acquire it if it's not in his chatzah. Because at that point in time, when the kinyan is supposed to happen, he doesn't have it. So it's only when he says Me'achshav, where if it's happening now, so then if it's happening now and now the kinyan's there, so then it's taking effect. Now, therefore, the Rishonim ask that since every kinyan obviously is like right now, so if it's right now when you're doing a kinyan, you said that that's not halacha of asmachta, so then why do you need a bezdin chashuv? You're saying that asmachta is going to be kanya because you're doing a kinyan, so why does it have to be a bezdin chashuv? Just doing the kinyan already preempts it being considered an asmachta. So even if, let's say, asmachta loikan, but we're saying that it's going to be an asmachta if, A, it's not an oinus, and moreover, that you're making a kinyan. So if you're making a kinyan, so it's taking effect right now, and that preempts it being a problematic element of asmachta, which is a guarantee for something in the future, why do you need a bezdin chashuv? So on that, the Ran explains that this, that we're saying a kinyan will help with that when there's a kinyan happening over here, that it's going to be with a bezdin chashuv, is even if he didn't say me'achshav. And the reason is because a respectable bezdin is strong enough to take out the money. Now that, the question is, if it's regarding taking out the money, why do you need that element of a bezdin chashuv? It should just be enough that there was an actual kinyan, and like as we explained before, that every kinyan is from now. And the reason being is because if it's not going to take effect right now, then it can't take effect at a later point in time either. Because again, as the Ran quoted from Rabbi Natan, because then the suda is already back to the other person, and so when is it taking effect? And the Ran says, you're right, that someone that, let's say, does a regular kinyan of his field to his friend, and they make a kinyan, so that it has to, that the kinyan takes effect right away. But when there's a condition, which is what the case we're describing, when the person says, im lo ibasi, if I don't come back within this amount of time, that doesn't sound like the kinyan should happen right now. It sounds like that it should happen at a later point in time. So it comes out that there really was no kinyan, as we described before. Because a kinyan only works from now. And that's what kinyan generally means from now, because it can't work at a later point in time. But the problem is, when you're saying that it should be if I don't come back in 30 days, sounds like it should not take effect now. It should only take effect then. And therefore, the reason why over here the kinyan does work is only because it's a bezin chashuv that's strong enough to remove money. And therefore, it's considered as if it is from right now. Only because it's a respectable bezin who they can get the money anyway. And that's how the Ran explains what the Gemara is concluding and saying, that asmachta will be kanya. And you won't run into the problems of promising something for the future. Again, if there's no einus, and that there was a kinyan, but specifically in the bezin chashuv. Because although every kinyan is from now, and then you wouldn't need a bezin chashuv, but here, since there was a condition that it should take effect at a later point in time, which would sound like it shouldn't be now, and then if it should be then it won't work, because then the kinyan is neither here nor there. But by bezin chashuv, it is considered as me'achshav, even though it was said with the condition that it should take effect at a later point in time.